Hello, Saltines. So, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening wherever you are at. Tonight's episode is going to be pretty brief. As you noticed, we skipped last week. We are extremely busy. So, either
I think we're going to, at least for the foreseeable future, we're going to have to move the podcast into an every other week kind of situation. We just do not have the availability at this point. We may post like mini episodes here and there, kind of in between. But we're going to be doing an episode every other week for at least as I said, the foreseeable future.
And the mini episodes, again, don't bet on them. We're busy. We're busy. We have lives, and this is something we do enjoy doing. But again, there are certain things that we do have that take priority. So,
Well,
that's not.
which is not to say that our
Yeah,
saltines are not a
it's
priority.
not that you're not a priority, but
It has as much to do, I think, with the busyness,
the
but
business.
also I think it's getting to a point where we really only have like what I would say would be like content really worth tuning in for, like on average, like every other week. Like each week is really basically just us kind of looking to just fill time. And it is a lot of the times just really dumb. It's just us riffing. And while people have said they enjoy that a lot of the time, that really wasn't what we started this podcast for. So we don't want to stop the podcast, but we need to make another change as it would relate to the frequency in which we release new episodes so that we can make sure that we continue to bring you something that is worth your time.
So tonight we have a suggestion that comes from a frequent listener.
I have something I want to talk about as
Okay.
well, but let's talk, let's get that out of the
So
way
we'll start with
first.
this, and then we'll go in. So we had a Saltine contact us about spirit boards and their usage. I personally love a good spirit board sesh. And the thing is spirit boards have been used for forever, really. They've been used for forever. And they're a really good tool to connect to the other side. The problem is what happened was Hollywood. So you got,
Ugh, they ruin
it's
everything.
true. Was it Hasbro?
I think Hasbro currently owns the rights to Ouija. But of course they only acquired those rights, I think, in like the 1960s, it would have been early 60s, if I remember. I could be off by a decade or so. That they were Parker Brothers before them.
Parker Brothers.
And they were like some really tiny little like American toy manufacturer prior to that. So Ouija boards are just one kind of spirit board though, right? And that's probably a good thing to distinguish for the
It's
Saltines.
true. I mean, Ouija board is a brand. That's really kind of what it is. It's the brand, it's the thing that became really popular in Hollywood. We all know the story of where The Exorcist comes from. And first and foremost, I just want to say that's not how spirit boards work. I know that there's going to be people on here who have had their experiences of just absolute insanity with them. And all I have to say to that is you were probably a teenager. You were probably functioning from a position of fear, which, okay, fine. I mean, you're a teenager, you're doing fun things, right? You're trying to have a good time with your friends. And teenage energy, along with the ramped up hormones, generally does tend to bring about some weird paranormal activity and attract some weird spirits. For our Saltines currently, oh, look, balloons. Weird. For our Saltines currently,
Your laptop's haunted.
probably it's probably because of my laptop is a spirit board.
It is. Oh my God, that was Zozo.
Speaking of Zozo, where does that come from, Mike?
Well, let's discuss that. Okay, but first, I want to say again, kind of going back to the idea of having had bad experiences, regardless of your age, regardless of your circumstances, most of the people over the years that I've connected with who have had bad experiences with spirit boards of any kind. These are almost always people who went into working with a spirit board with no clear purpose. They did not take any kind of precautions around asking for things like particular spirits. They utilized their boards in physical places that they were not really overly familiar with. Like, you know, like these, like we had a child, and I say child, and we've talked about it. I mentioned this on the podcast at some point in the past, but we had a young person come into the store at one point who was just dying to get his hands on a spirit board. And he even had his mom come into the shop with him at one point, and she was the one that actually had to buy the spirit board for him. And she came in the day I was there, and she was asking me all these questions about, like, you know, like what are the signs? What are the things he needs to worry about? What are the things, you know, like, you know, and, you know, is it devil worship? Is it a doorway to hell? You know, and I, of course, then I'm answering all of her questions, telling her, like, no, it's none of these things. Like, this is a tool, just like a pendulum or a deck of tarot cards. You know, it all comes down to how you use it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to use a hammer when you need a screwdriver, right? You know, and so anyway, you know, so I go to all this work to try to, you know, kind of relieve her concern around, like, what her son could potentially be getting involved in, you know. And then idiot boy, and when I say idiot boy, he must have been like 16, mm-hmm. you know. So I mean, when I say idiot boy, I mean, he's at an age where, you know, like, he's entitled to be an idiot. I think most boys are idiots when they're 16.
Agreed.
Some of them never go out of that, though. Like, I know, like, 50 year old boys right now who are still fucking idiots. Some men just don't grow.
Yeah,
they're just boys that get bigger and hairier. And then less hairy. Anyway, but I, you know, I go to all this work to try to calm his mother. And then as soon as I'm done with that, he immediately drops, like, oh yeah, my friends and I are going to go to this, like, old haunted factory or something, and we're going to use this. And I was like, this is the shit that people do that creates problems. Mm-hmm. This is the shit that gives everybody bad experiences with spirit boards. Like, and I had to, and as soon as he said that, I was like, okay, well, no, I can't sell you the spirit board. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you should have kept your dumb, stupid mouth shut, because now that I know what you're planning on doing and the kind of trouble that you could potentially be kind of opening, not only for yourself, but your innocent mother here, who obviously loves you very much. God knows why, you're a fucking moron, but no, I can't sell you the spirit board now. Get the fuck out of my store.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, so it's shit like that is what ultimately causes bad experiences mm-hmm. for people, when otherwise they could really be working with what is really a very effective spiritual communication tool. Anyway, so what did you want me to clarify? Oh, Zozo.
Yes.
So Zozo is this stupid thing that pops up. So there's this idea, this belief that there's this demon named Zozo, or a demon who identifies itself as Zozo.
Every single time I hear Zozo, and I just think of the professor.
Pazuzu. Well, and I think that's kind of where that comes from, right? Like, you've got this idea of the demon Pazuzu, mm-hmm. which is a Goetic spirit, you know, but Pazuzu was really kind of pop culturized mm-hmm. by the Exorcist stories and movies, right? Anyway, so you've got Pazuzu, Zozo, right? You've got this thing, you know, and it's funny because there'll be people out there that'll be like, oh, the board keeps spelling, and this is where this comes from. It's like, you've got people who are using their board, right? And the planchette's moving back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. And it's going from like O to Z, O to Z, O to Z. And they're like, oh, and now there's this thing that's popped off where they're like, oh, it's a spirit named Zozo. And it's like, no, moron, that's not it at all. You've got two people most likely sitting on opposite ends of the board. And if you've seen the way the boards are laid out, they're laid out like from numbers like A through N, right? Or A through M, mm-hmm. right? And then you've got the other half of the alphabet, right? So you've got two people sitting most likely on opposite sides of the board. And because they don't know what the fuck they're doing, they're actively both pushing the planchette. And so it's going back and forth, going back and forth, back and forth. And if you look at the layout, the common layout of the letters on a spirit board, it's going to go from Z to O, Z to O, mm-hmm. Z to O. And, you know, and so you've got this whole thing now with this, like, these people out there like, oh, Zozo. It's like, it's not a real thing. That's not a real thing. There's no spirit named Zozo. Stop meddling with shit that you clearly are not intelligent enough to be meddling with.
100% agreed.
So that's the Zozo story.
Yes. That's why we're here, to help give you some education. So our
the SALT team that asked us to talk about this, though, wanted some guidelines or some steps on how to more effectively work with these tools.
Okay.
So let's provide some of those.
Well, first, you need a board.
I just kind of addressed a few of these, right?
Yeah.
So, but we can certainly elaborate.
Yeah. So first you need a board, obviously. However, a board doesn't need to be something big, fancy, and elaborate. It also doesn't need to be made of a natural material. You know, a board that you like.
I can always yawn when we record the podcast.
I don't know.
You always yawn and I always cough.
Yeah. So you know, a board that you like, a board that you connect with. It's just like picking out a deck of tarot cards. From there, you really don't need to cleanse the board. If you want to cleanse the board, like, go ahead and do it if you feel you need to. But just wipe it down with a little bit of Florida water, you'll be fine. Okay. Then you want to make sure that you know who you want to contact. That's one of the biggest things that goes wrong, is people just open the board and they're like, whatever's out there. And if there's a trickster spirit, it's going to come through and it's going to be all that stuff. And that's fine, but it's not a demon. It's not going to be that. If a demon wants to get to you, they don't need a piece of cardboard or wood. If a truly malevolent energy wants to get to you, they don't need those.
Any sea spirit out there does not need a gimmick or a toy or an implement of some kind to get to you.
Yeah, Toby agrees.
This idea that something like pressed wood and ink is going to create a doorway to hell or an opening of some sort. It's going to punch a hole through dimensions, in essence, to allow a spirit of some sort to physically gain access to you. That idea is ridiculous.
Yeah, they're not that powerful. So, but then
the boards
are not. Yeah. But then you also, I usually tell people that they want at least three people to work the board. Because working the board takes energy. And
well, there are a few reasons you want, for sure.
I just heard something.
Any kind of mediumistic effort, which is what you're doing when you're working a spirit, anytime you're communicating with spirit, anytime a spirit is gathering energy to be able to communicate with you in a way that you can understand, they are utilizing your energy to sustain themselves through that communication, at least in part. So you want multiple people on a board, because that means you're not having to basically be the only battery for the spirits. You also want multiple people working a planchette, because people are dumb and they think they're funny. And in every group situation where people are wanting to work with a spirit board, there's always one asshole who decides, oh, this is going to be so funny if I move the planchette, right? You know, and then you've got other people that are there, like, actually open to a legitimate experience. And then the one jerk that's got to try to ruin it for everybody, right? So having multiple people with their finger on the planchette is going to help to kind of limit that a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And if you are that person, grow up. What's the point of that?
Yeah.
You're not scary. You're not funny. You're just stupid.
Yeah. But usually at that point, you want to make sure that there's someone to record, like Mike said.
Did I say that?
Did you talk about a scribe?
I didn't know.
Wow. So you want a scribe, someone to write and keep notes, so that way the focus truly can be on the communication.
Yawning.
I can't help it.
You're just so tired. Oh my God, are you okay?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out the scientific reasoning behind yawning. I'm sure I've learned it and I'll just look it up. Anyway, but three people means more energy, but also you have someone who can take notes, which is going to be really, really helpful. I think ambiance while using a spirit board is very important. You do want to kind of have that feel. You can use a spirit board anywhere, anytime. It doesn't really matter. I mean, we've done them just at the kitchen table.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't need to get super elaborate
but
have like a special spirit communication chamber. Although those are kind of fun.
They are fun. But if it's your first time, you want to kind of create that ambiance, because what that's going to do is that's going to help get everyone in the mindset. So that way you're a little bit more open. You want to make sure everyone who's there is open to an experience, and you want to make sure that everyone there isn't afraid.
Word.
Then usually you'll do a little bit of a blessing over the board before you start, stating your boundaries, and then you just go. As a medium, I found it hard to actually work the planchette. Part of that's because I have frenetic energy. Another part of it, had frenetic energy. I've actually worked the board a few times now, planchette, and it's been pretty good. As a medium, I usually go up. I usually like have to keep a really good ground. And I noticed that personally for me, I needed to kind of let that energy go. And so as soon as I just let that energy go and let it flow, it was easier for whatever spirit we were working with to kind of use that energy and actually move the board. At any time when something's happening, you can call it quits. All you have to do is just say, nope, we're done, we're over. And you move it to goodbye, move the thing back to the center of the board, and state that the board is now closed. Speak it with power and stuff like that. If you do by chance happen upon a trickster, it's easy to get rid of them because you just tell them to go away.
You do just be gone.
Yes, literally, just I don't believe this is Great Grandma Susan, so be gone, trickster, and then you just reset the board.
Yes.
So that's really the logistics of the spirit board. It's really not
It's
that commu that
really,
that really
yeah,
complicated.
that's it, yeah.
So.
I'm trying to think of anything that we may have missed. You'll want to, speaking a bit on ambiance, I think it's good. Like I found over the years that, depending, of course, on the people who are involved, that working in the evening is actually of benefit. Like working in kind of a dim, darkened room is benefit. Like working by candlelight, if that is providing enough light for people to still do what they need to do, can be of benefit. But I think the reason for that really has less to do with the spookiness of doing this at night, and more to do with the fact that if you're in a darkened room, you are visually less likely to be distracted, right? You're not looking around at the shit going on out the window. Right. Speaking of that, put your fucking phones away when you are doing this kind of work. Right. Because that's not helping. Beyond that, these kinds of spiritual energies can fry your phones. They can drain your battery. They can fry your phone. You need to limit distraction. And that's why I think working kind of in a darkened space is really bad. Like that's the whole purpose behind that. It's not to be edgy and cool. So that would be one other thing I would mention as far as ambiance. When you're done with a spirit board session, as you know, and you want to watch your time on these because again, this energy or work can be draining to your energy. I would say try to go, I would say maybe no longer than a half an hour. You really don't need to go any longer than that. You shouldn't. If you're going that long and you're not getting any communication, or you haven't been able to get complete communication, you need to wrap it up and stop anyway, because the spirit that you're trying to connect with is obviously not strong enough to be able to communicate with
Or they
you
just don't want to talk.
in that manner. You need to find another method. So no more than a half an hour at least, and maybe you can build up and maybe go a little bit longer than that, or maybe if you've got multiple people available, you can kind of switch out. At least when he's working the planchette. When you're done, do something again to ground your energy. The really easy way to do that is just to eat something.
Something salty. Chocolate.
And kind of settle yourself back into your daily routine. And that's pretty much it.
I find bananas are really good for grounding. That was really weird.
It's the potassium. I have no idea. I just said that because that's why everybody's like, eat a banana. It's like it's got potassium. It's like lots of shit has potassium.
I know. It's just very interesting.
Yeah.
So there's Spirit Board.
Will you pause this for a moment?
Yes,
Because
I think your cauldron is
I
bubbling
hear
over.
my cauldron bubbling over. Yes, I'll be right back.
Okay, no cauldron fire.
Not this time.
Okay, good. So that's really all you need to know about spirit boards. Really pretty simple.
Word.
So you said there was something
Am I
else you wanted to talk
saying that
about.
so much? My word. Why is that in my brain tonight? It's funny, people. I say that now, and people have no idea where that comes from. They're like, "You're obviously not a child of the early '90s." So, yeah,
Word.
exactly. I wanted to talk a little bit about the evolution of spiritual paths based upon personal belief. We've talked a lot on the podcast in the past about this really common pattern that we see with people kind of coming out of religion, like Orthodox, religion, Christianity, Judaism, other types of, of churchy faiths, right?
What brought this up?
Let me brought this up.
Like, was this just something that was on your mind today?
It's something that's been on my mind a lot in like probably like the last year. And we've talked a lot about people kind of coming out of religion and moving into alternative spiritual practices, whether it be, the route that the light workers always take, God forbid, or maybe something more paganistic. Sometimes people move away from all of that and they actually just dive right into witchcraft or the occult, and that's a pretty common thing, right? And we hear a lot of conversation about that, right? Because I think that that's a journey that a lot of people have,
Yeah, most definitely.
right? But I think, whoop, there's my alarm for my cauldron. But we were on top of it, man. We got there before the
We're on
alarm
it like
even
blue bonnet.
go. So I think something that's less spoken about is another kind of spiritual evolution or an evolution that can happen to personal belief around spirituality once you've been involved in those processes for a long time. And what I'm talking about basically is that thing that can happen to some of us, and I wanted to talk about this because this is something I personally am dealing with right now. I shouldn't say dealing with, that makes it sound like it's a bad thing. Something that I'm experiencing consciously and constructively. I want to clarify, constructively experiencing. But a lot of other people, I think, in the last few years are kind of in the same place. And I know that because I've had a lot of conversations with other people that I'm familiar with in lots of different branches of the occult, the alternative spiritual community, whatever you want to call it, right? Where we come out of religion and we move into these practices, and so much of those practices are still so primarily rooted in the belief in external spiritual intelligences, right? Like that's one of the things we hear a lot, right? People, they leave Christianity, the first thing that they need to do is they say bye bye to Sky Daddy, and they immediately pick up with like, oh, Mother Earth or some other sort of goddess, right? Like they still need that deity, they still need that other thing that in some way, good or bad, in some way is still lending structure to their spiritual belief, right? Rather than really just kind of doing it the way we really probably all should be doing it, right? And scrapping all of that shit and creating our own structure for our spiritual belief, right? Which is really kind of that's the path of the shaman. That's the path of the medicine person. That is the path of the truly the path of the witch, is to say, I don't need any of that. I'm gonna take what I know, and I'm gonna create my own thing. I'm gonna lay down my own roots, and I'm gonna use that as a foundation to build whatever it is that I ultimately need for myself, right? And if I happen to find like-minded people along the way, or I can bump into a few other resources along the way that would validate, well, yes, indeed, this is something that you share with other people, right? That's always nice, right? Those are good check-in moments, particularly on our sanity, right? But a lot of people continue to need that crutch, the crutch of external spirit or of external spiritual validation. And I'm saying this, the reason I'm going there, and I want to be really clear, okay, I am not trying to say that external spirits and spiritual intelligences and things, I'm not trying to say that they don't exist or that I believe they don't exist, because I know that shit's real. I've had experiences that would tell me like that I know
There's
that
no
shit's
way.
real. But as it would pertain to my own spiritual practice and to the spiritual practices of, I hope, many other people who maybe listen to this, it is perfectly healthy. And I think sometimes for the best, as an individual continuing to evolve spiritually, to get to a moment where you realize I don't need a god and I don't need these other spirits and I don't need to acknowledge these other spirits and I don't need to pray and work with my ancestors and I don't need to do these things. I don't need to do these things. Because if we believe in some of the foundational tenets much of the spiritual practices that are kind of popular these days. And again, and I'm talking about all the alternative ones, right? We have concepts, we hear things like as within, so without, right? And that works both ways, as without, so within, right? It's like a very much as above, so below, you know, blah, 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 right? The idea is very much like that microcosm, macrocosm, but the macrocosm is in essence only, it only exists because of many, many microcosms, right? So the idea, I guess, and where I'm bringing that up is you don't need external spirits to structure or to validate your practice and your path because you are already all of those spirits. You are already the totality of all of those things. You may not consciously be aware of all of it, but all of that is already you, just as you are already all of that, right? And I think that's where I see more and more in my own practice and in the practices of a lot of other people. And this really, just to kind of qualify this a little bit better, or to kind of clear, explain this a little bit better, this really started to pop up for me, I think, in the last year because I was dealing with a lot of loss and grief. I was also at that point really reconnecting to the philosophies of chaos magic that I was really actively involved in and really used to structure much of my spiritual practice, particularly in my early 20s and into my early 30s. And so all of this kind of has me, you know, kind of at this point, and again, I'm talking with a lot of other people who I know are experienced and have kind of been at this for at least a few years, because this is a process, I think, that does take a few
It
years.
does.
Like, you need to go through all of those steps. You know, that's the one thing I guess I also want our listeners or our consultants to take away is like, in no way am I trying to say that you should disregard working with deities or other spirits, because those are all things that have their place and their power. But I think that as you progress, many people, not everyone certainly, but many people as we progress, we find ourselves in that moment where we realize like, I don't need to rely on those things. I don't need to continue to fall back on those things. I don't need these external influences to structure what I'm doing. Because I can do all that myself, right? And in that moment, it's a weird mix of things that move through you, because when you get to a point where you've worked very closely with a deity or a higher power, and then you realize like, oh, I don't need you anymore. You know, and it's not about that. It's not about like not needing them anymore, because the reality is we should never need a deity. We should want to have that relationship, right? That should never be based on need, right? If you need a deity in your life, go the fuck back to church, right? But so you can keep that. You can keep that connection and that relationship to that deity as, you know, as something like, because you want that. You want to continue to have that connection, right? But you realize you in that moment, you're like, I don't need you anymore. It's very much a, like the student becomes the teacher kind of a moment, right? where you kind of, and it's a weird moment, because in that moment, like, it can be very lonely. Like, all of a sudden you realize like, oh God, like this is, wow, like this is like the end of a friendship, or like, oh, this is a change to a relationship that I'm not sure how I feel about, right? You know, I like, is this going to be a good thing? You know, is this other spirit going to be upset with me? You know, like, so it can be a weird moment where you can have, I think, a lot of insecurity and again, feel kind of a sense of loneliness. But in that moment where you realize like, oh, I don't really need this anymore. Like, I can do this on my own. Like, I can take off my swim wings and just dive into the deep end. Right. In that moment, it's also very empowering. Right. And again, sometimes scarily, I think there are a lot of people out there that want power, but when they find themselves in a moment where they recognize they're actually wielding power, they get afraid. Because when you realize that you hold power on some level, you also then become aware of what it is you're really capable of, or what can potentially happen to someone who holds power, particularly when other influences and other things maybe also want that power, right? You know, there's a lot that can go through you in that moment, you know. And so getting back to my initial point, I wanted to talk a bit about and to kind of make it very clear to those of you who watch this that as you evolve in your own belief based on your practice and your experience, that it is acceptable and I think again sometimes better for you to get to a point where you move away from deity work, where you say goodbye to elaborate rituals that call in your ancestors and whoever else you may work with, right? That it is okay to move away from those things as long as you feel okay with that, and as long as you still continue to see results in your practice, right? And your practice will absolutely need to evolve, for sure. It's going to have to happen. But as long as you're still seeing results, there's no reason that you need to continue to do that if you're no longer really feeling a strong draw or pull toward those things. That's another example of how traditions also need to evolve. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't need to continue to pray to the same spirits or evoke the same gods that our magical elders maybe did, you know, even a couple of decades ago, right? Shit changes. We change. Practices change. The world certainly changes. And to be honest, those spirits also evolve and change. Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with someone in the shop just today, actually, about the nature of evolution, spiritual evolution, as it pertains to deities, you know, and how we see historically, particularly the example I used was actually around the evolution of the gods, Tinia and Uni.
Mm-hmm.
As those gods were seen to evolve not only through the belief of the human cultures of that region of the world and of that era, but as spirits within themselves, where they evolved from Uni and Tinia into Jupiter and Tana, and then into Lucifer and Diana, right? Same spirits, right? But they evolved as well. And deities and other spirits are constantly always evolving. Everything evolves. Everything has to. There's not a single intelligent life form out there, any life form out there, that really has the luxury of just being able just to plunk themselves down and just say, here I am and I will never change.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing exists like that. Nothing. So I want you all to be more open-minded, I guess, perhaps, is the whole point of this when it comes to the way that you may find that you're now, and I'm not saying you are, but if you ever do, that you maybe find yourself feeling less of a connection to deity work or to ancestral work or whatever it may be. Those are things that hold power and certainly will hold position in most people's practices, but not always forever. Not always forever. Not always for everyone. Maybe that's a better way to put that. Yeah. And I'm feeling that lately, you know, like I'm finding myself after many, many years of very heavily deity-oriented practice, getting to a point now where I'm realizing like I don't need that anymore. And I'm not really feeling any of a, how to word this? I'm not feeling through making that decision and through having actually made what I would say in an odd sense, like some energetic distance now between myself and my practice and deity, right? I haven't experienced or felt like a lessening of, right? Or personal connection to the work that I'm doing. If anything, I think I feel more empowered because now it's like, it's all on me. And when I say it's all on me, I don't just mean the power behind the practice. I mean, the responsibility is now all mine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't blame a deity or some other sort of spirit for shit that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or, you know, so it's empowering in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just something that a lot of people don't talk about. And it's a weird thing for me, this, you know, and I'm putting this out there very publicly right now, because I still have people who I have mentored over the last several years, particularly around Hecatean witchcraft and work, who contact me regularly wanting information and advice on Hecate and working with Hecate and who Hecate is, and, you know, and just because they know, and that was what connected us to begin with, was the mutual connection and love for this amazing primordial deity, right? And to be clear, I absolutely adore Hecate. That will never change. And I do continue to feel connection to her. But that connection to this at this point has nothing to do with my witchcraft. And anyway, and so it's odd because these people message me, and there's this part of me that struggles each time I check that text or I get that phone call or whatever it may be, right? Or email. And there's a part of me that struggles with this, like, am I being hypocritical at this point by continuing to share information on her and encourage their practice with her, having moved away from this? And I don't think I am,
No, you're not.
because the information I'm giving them, and you know, and being able to kind of commiserate or to kind of celebrate with them when they have moments of breakthrough, or you know, they see a growth of some sort in their own practice with her in those moments, like that there's good there, and you know, and I'm still able to be a part of that, and I can still validate personal experiences for them based off of those that I've had over the years, right? You know, and so I think I'm still in kind of an odd way, I'm still kind of doing good work there.
I would agree.
But it's odd, and I don't think any of these people at this point have even registered. Like, I'm not really actively working with Hecate anymore. And I know a lot about her, and I love her, and I encourage people to work with her because of all of the deities that I've worked with over the years. She is by far the most loving and the wisest and the most encompassing. And by extension, for all y'all witches who were all about your spell work, the most powerful that I have ever connected with, because she's everything. And so, but I'm not really actively working with her much these days, and it's been like that for a few months now.
Well, so here's a hot take that I don't think you would expect from me. I personally have felt that for many years. Do I still believe that these things are ex that there are these external like plugins? Sure. You know, or external things I could call upon and stuff like that. Yes. But as I'm sitting here and we're having this conversation, I'm looking over at the ancestral altar. And it's not that I'm venerating the spirits externally. On a psychological level, that is there to remind me of my ans of where I came from and where this body and this lifetime came
Well,
from.
you are your ancestors.
Yes. When I work with Hecate, and I mentioned this to you when I started doing the Hecateon. I don't feel, and I never have felt, that Hecate, when you're truly working with Hecate, is external. I feel that Hecate, because Hecate is everything, I agree with you on that.
Okay.
Hecate also is me. Hecate
Yeah.
is you.
Yeah.
And so when we are evoking, let's say, an epithet, let's say, because I've been really turning my focus towards the healing work and stuff like that. When I evoke Hecate Malinowe, I'm not evoking an external source. I'm simply invoking that source that
You're evoking.
I'm evoking. I'm
You're
not invoking external source.
evoking the
Yes,
Malinowe within you.
exactly. And because of the connection and the knowledge that I have, it's there. And I could go months and months and months and not do any devotional ritual to Hecate, because to me, the fact that I'm getting up in the morning and I'm brushing my teeth, that's a devotional ritual to Hecate.
That's it.
Because I am keeping myself, which is Hecate,
Okay.
clean and healthy. So,
Gotcha.
which
Okay.
is
Yeah.
why when
Yeah.
people bring up that, like, oh, well, you're a pagan, I'm like, no, I'm not, because I'm not like the honor and devotion of Hecate, like my Hecate altar. That is just me simply acknowledging the aspects of Hecate within myself. And that might sound weird. And we just kind of talked about how, like, you know, like don't trust people who are like, I'm a god or something like that, like a
Yeah,
couple
on our
episodes
episode a couple of
back.
weeks back. Yeah.
And it's different when this person
It,
is.
yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
It's different when a person is saying that they are a god that is reincarnate and they are an ex like external. It's, but when you're truly working as a witch, You are the God of your own reality in your own world. You are the God that you work with. And if I choose to evoke Diana, I'm evoking Diana from within me. All those aspects I know. If I evoke Lucifer, I'm evoking the Lucifer that is in me, and it is a part of me. I have these things and I have these moments, and this really kind of started when I started using medical cannabis.
You use medical
I
cannabis?
do. Do you want to see my card?
You're not using that while we're doing the podcast, are you?
Oh no, I totally am. No shame. If you use cannabis for medical reasons, awesome. It is a beautiful, lovely medicine. And even then, when I'm looking at like spirits of plants, like their virtues, what they hold. So looking at rosemary, yes, I'm working with that plant and that plant because would you still consider yourself an animist?
Yeah, but
So
animism
yes,
doesn't really.
I know. So let me
Okay,
focus.
all right.
So yes, I'm working with the energy and the spirit of that plant of rosemary, but it's not that plant that's making the spell go. It is me evoking those things with rosemary, purification, protection. You know, if I'm utilizing rosemary in a protection spell or a purification spell, I'm evoking those feelings and that imagery and that power from within me. So do I work with deity? In
Yes.
the modern conventional sense, yeah, no, not really, actually.
Well, maybe that's a
In
good thing to clarify for
the
those
sense
confused,
of
though, is like, what's the distinction there when you talk about deity work? Because I think that most people hear that and
so
they go, oh, deity work. So it's basically like what I used to do when I went to church.
basically,
But it's like, no,
that's what people
it
think of when
shouldn't
they
be.
think deity
It
work.
should
And
not be.
you know, when you start doing that, that's what it is. So even though you're like, I've distanced myself from devotional work or stuff with Hecate, you haven't really. You've just changed it into a different way, and it's becoming more internalized and or integrated.
Internalized in what?
Internalized and integrated.
Integrated. Okay.
So instead of going, you know, Hecate Phosphoros, I evoke you to shine this light on me. Instead, you're just going, you know what? I'm gonna go within and I'm gonna evoke that Phosphoros within me. I'm calling that light forward from within me. Would you agree? Are you agreeing with me because you're like, yeah, wow.
No, I think I absolutely, but of course it would depend on what exactly I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Right, because there are a lot of things that I do where I'm like, I don't need to call upon the archetype of a deity for this.
Well, no, but
Like
I'm
I can
also,
sit down and I can say I'm a badass fucking witch and I have
yes.
the power, I can do this.
Yes. What I'm saying is it's the archetype of the deity. Yeah, sure. You can acknowledge it like that. But psychologically, when we're calling up that power, that's the power we're calling up. So at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you call it. I'm not a deitic witch. I do not work with deity. I work with myself. And as a human, I compartmentalize things. And that's just me. It's not, I do not for one second when I evoke Hecate, am I going, Sky Goddess Mommy, hello, please. I step into it, and everything that she embodies, I become. Everything that this energy that we've historically connected with, I become. And it is no longer just her. It is me going, I'm as fucking badass as she is. And I am myself.
So doing that though, and I guess maybe this would be another good thing to discuss because I think that we've talked a little bit now about how that's a way or a different way for you to kind of approach ritual and spell work. What about just living your life day to day? Like you mentioned, like you get up in the morning and you brush your teeth, and you can use that, or you can not that you do normally, but you could justify and say like this was a component of a ritual process, or was a ritual process to the divine presence of her being of Hecate, because I am she, and I channel her through me, and I'm taking care of this vessel, this body that is also Hecate, right? But I think that a lot of people, again, they don't realize that, like, just getting up day to day and just living your life in a certain way is also a way for you to honor and to kind of move in the patterns of deities and other spirits. And that can be for good or for bad. You know, like in the last few weeks, I've had what some people would consider a bit of an attitude problem. I will own it. But I think even in those moments, like I look at myself as like it's acceptable to, given what you're going through in your life, any of us, it's acceptable for us, given what we're going through and how we're feeling about things in our lives, to also evoke aspects of deity and other spirit that would maybe be more along the lines of like the destroyer kind of
Of
energy,
course.
right? Or the, you know, the focus of, you know, the furies, right? The
Yeah, of course.
retribution, right? You know, the angry heart, right? Like it's okay, I think, to, or it's acceptable. I won't say it's okay, because really you don't want to try to live in a state like that all the time. You shouldn't. But, you know, but in those
No, that is very
moments,
unhealthy.
I think, right? Yeah.
That's very
But
unhealthy
in
and
those,
dishonorable to
but
yourself.
in those moments though, I think like as you have that day where you get up and you're like, you know, like you have that moment, you're like, today I choose violence, right?
Yes.
And there's no reason that in the process of that you couldn't totally step into like, today I am moving, I am walking the footsteps of the Morrigan. Today I am moving and following the path of Brimo. You know, and that doesn't mean I'm gonna go out and pick a fight and kill people and set things on fire. I'm not gonna do that, but I'm going to feel okay on this day because of what I'm facing in my life and how I'm responding to whatever that might be, right? Like it is okay for me to be angry.
Yes.
It is okay for me to feel hate.
Yes.
It is okay for me to feel fear, or to be
Yes.
someone who wants to make other people feel fear.
Yes.
You know, like those are okay things, right? And I think that that's a better way for us to think about moments like that, because I think a lot of people, when they hear you talking about how like, oh, walking in the footsteps of your god or goddess, or emulating or evoking this, you know, this deity within yourself, a lot of people, I think they go obviously to like the very like love and light spectrum there with that, like, oh, you know, all their most honorable and noble traits. But let us not forget that every other spirit, including the gods, has a fucking dark side.
Yes, of course.
You know, they are very human in that way, right? Just as we can be very godlike in that way,
Yes.
you know. And so I think it's okay. And obviously, of course, you know, you don't want to, as I mentioned a moment ago, you don't want to become the destroyer just because you are moving in the path of the destroyer, right? Or you're walking in the footsteps of the
What
destroyer.
makes the witch? What makes
But
what's the difference between just going for that and the witch? Is the witch takes that destroyer and directs it appropriately.
yeah, exactly. Like you can still,
Like you don't need to destroy everyone in your path. You need to set your sights on the thing that is causing you to step into destroyer and destroy it. Which requires a lot of self-awareness and internal work.
very true. And I think a good perception of what's really kind of going on around you.
Yes.
That was just something I wanted to talk
Yeah.
about.
No, I
I
love
know
it.
it's been on my mind quite a bit lately, and I, you know, I've been kind of like hedging on actually like really kind of having the discussion, but I think that it's timely, and I think that it also is good information for a lot of people. And I would say even maybe something that could be I would have a little bit of bring a little bit of relief
Yeah, most
to a lot of
definitely.
people who maybe hear this or you know, join this episode, and you know, and maybe they're struggling, you know, for whatever reason, or maybe it's not a struggle. Maybe they finally have gotten to a moment of acceptance, or I'm like, you know, I don't really know what I don't need to deal with deities. I don't need to deal with other spirits. Like I don't feel a need to do that, you know, because I already have all that within me. Like I'm good, you know, like and because I think that that could be a tricky conversation. Like, I mean, you've had those conversations, right, where you're talking with someone who obviously, again, tends to be a bit more theistic or paganistic in their belief and practice. But They'll be like, oh, well, which spirits do you work with? Which is always a stupid question. You should never go into a conversation with a blind question along the lines of like, well, what spirits do you work with? Oh, what god do you work with? Okay, because if you're dealing with a legitimate practitioner, they're most likely not going to be willing to volunteer that right off the bat. Most of us who work with other spirits, we are not out there waving a banner, right? We are, Austin and I are, of course, the exception because we find ourselves in the position of doing what we do in a very public way. Right, we teach so much, we can't really be secretive about co big components of our practice and really be effective teachers, right? And running the business that we run, right? Because it all has to be out there, right? Most of it has to be out there. But I think the average person out there, you know, they're gonna hesitate a minute. They're gonna be like, what kind do you work with? They'd be like, why do you want to know? Why is that important? Why is that your business, right? But I've also been witness to, and I have seen those conversations where somebody will like, you know, someone's very excited about their deity and what they do and the work that they've achieved with their deity and all, you know, whoever, whatever it is they do, right? Might not be a deity. It could be some other sort of spirit, right? You know, and then they turn to you and like, and what about you? You know, and there's a part of you in here that's like, oh, I don't really do any dating. Like, I just, you know, sit down and I just do my rituals and my spells and shit works for me, right? But when you say that to someone else, they're like, oh, I don't really work with deities. They kind of look at you like,
Yeah. They give you this look of like,
can you even really be a pagan or a witch if you don't work with deities and other spirits? And the answer is yes, you fucking can.
yeah. Well, I mean, we could even take like, this is just so fascinating. I'm glad you brought this up because I've been in this place for a while as well. And again, it's not that I don't acknowledge those external things, because I've had experiences like you where there's no denying, there's no point. But also, if I'm a witch, I don't get my power from anything. My power is my own. And I don't need anything else for that power. Is it cool that I have ancestors who had that power? Yeah, sure. But their power is not mine. My power is what I make it my own. It's mine. And that all comes from the internal work that you do.
What's the internal work? It's a combination of things. We talked about this also recently on a podcast, where we answered the question for one of our SWAT teams, where they were basically like, do you have to be born a witch, or can anyone become a witch? And I think we already kind of explained that on that episode and answering. But since that episode, I've been really kind of thinking about that, because that's something that has popped up in conversation a few times since with just other random people. And I'm not saying I want to amend my opinion, because my opinion on that episode when that question came through first was, no, you don't need to be born a witch. Absolutely not. The idea that you need to be born, that you need to have witch blood, is, to me, is the root of things like white supremacy,
Agreed.
right? Like, you're special, you have special ancestry, you have special DNA, there's something amazing about you and only you, right? And your line of ancestors, right? You know, and we know that's bullshit. No one's DNA is that pure, for one thing, right? We're all mingled genetically at this point, right? So what would that even look like, right? But in thinking about that conversation and the way that I answered that since, I would have to amend my statement to say that while I still don't believe that you have to be born a witch, there are people that are born with something in them, either genetically, maybe it's a soul thing, right? Who the fuck knows, right? But there are people that do seem to be born that just have a natural connection to what we do as witches. And that doesn't mean that people who are born without that doesn't mean that they can't still be witches. They absolutely can. But there are people that just seem to be born or who come into witchcraft, and that's like they're just already from the start, they're just a couple of steps ahead. You know, and I believe that to be true because I've seen it so many times. You know, and again, having said that, I again want to go on record as saying that I think that almost anybody can become a witch. but it is not ultimately going to be your ancestry, your blood, any kind of spiritual power you were born with. It is ultimately going to be what makes you a witch. It is the personal work that you do to become something other than just your average status quo kind of human. You know, and that's going to sound really weird. Like, that's going to sound really weird because it's not that witches aren't human, we're human. But we live our lives in a way, or we try to live our lives in a way that takes us out of the common, the normal, the mundane and material cycles and patterns that most every other human gets trapped in. Or we should be working to do that at least, right? So it is that kind of approach to the way that you live your life. It is making sure that you are always open to learn, because your assumption, your accumulation of knowledge, paralleled by the wisdom that you cultivate through life experience and spiritual practice, those are the things that ultimately earn the label witch.
Agreed.
And if you're not doing the personal work, if you're not looking for ways to rise above the muck of day-to-day average human society, because I think most people can agree that day-to-day average human society is shit.
Yep.
It's garbage water. And if you're not doing something to kind of rise above that by adjusting your systems of belief, your values, being someone who actually gives a shit about the physical world, someone who recycles, someone who is conscious about their carbon footprint, someone who is charitable and kind and now helps take care of, even though human society is shit, at least tries to take care of other humans, other people, right? You're not trying to be, you know, like, or you're trying to be a good person, right? In essence, right? If you're not doing those things, you're never gonna fucking be a witch, ever. Quit pretending. Quit fucking pretending. And that's going to sound really mean,
No.
but
I think it's 100% the truth, because I agree with you.
I'm tired of dealing with pretenders.
I get it, babe. I'm the same way.
That's all I have to say.
Do you think I've earned the title of witch?
You're getting there.
I'm getting there. Oh, you bitch. It's okay. I shall rise above this.
There's no, I mean, so we're talking about it. It's also fair to say there's no one kind of witch,
No,
right?
there's not.
You know,
But
and what I just said a moment ago is purely my opinion, right? And opinions are like assholes, right? But it's an educated opinion,
it's an
you
educated
know,
asshole.
and it's one. Yes, I paid a lot of money that for that asshole's education, I'll tell you, and a lot of time and energy, but I think that again, going back to the idea that there's no one kind of witch. I think that with that in mind,
There's commonalities.
there are always those threads. Like, there are always those threads. I think that, you know, if you want to be, if you're someone that is comfortable stepping into you know, slapping on the label of witch, and for you, that is very much a superficial pop culture, you know, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, Charmed, you know, whatever the witchy pop culture things are, right? If for you that is
I
a
do love that
witch,
trash TV, though.
or that if for you that's what equates to being a witch and witchcraft, then, you know, more power to you. That's great, right? But that's not a witch to me.
It's not a witch to me
I don't
either.
know what that is entirely, right? That's a fictional witch. That's a pop culture witch. That's a social media internet witch. That's a Pinterest witch, right? I guess I'm at a point where I would really like to see more people doing the deep dives and the deep personal work and the integrative work, and to be honest, this scary and uncomfortable work, because witchcraft traditionally was scary. You found yourself involved in doing things and facing things, most of them in here. And in here, right? But doing things that were uncomfortable, if not painful and scary. And if in your witchcraft practice you have not had moments of discomfort or pain where you have not felt fear, You're not practicing witchcraft. I don't know what you're doing, but it's not witchcraft.
And then once you actually get through a lot of that and learn how to work with it instead of against it, you end up finding comfort in those things. I don't want to say comfort, power,
Some of
empowerment.
them, it's empowerment, right? There's something very empowering about being able to have a really painful and scary experience and being able to walk away from the other side of that situation, right? Having kind of gone through that, right? And then in that moment realizing like, oh shit, I've faced that, like I went through it. I didn't just skirt around the edge. I had to actually like walk through the flames, and here I am. And fuck yeah, I've got some scars and I'm a little bruised and singed,
Ain't nothing a little cannabis can't fix.
but I'm here. And if nothing else, I now have the wisdom of that experience, which is always going to make us stronger and more powerful. So yeah, I don't know. Shit that rattles through my brain.
No, I love it because I think
So,
I'm 100% there with you.
anyway, that's all I have for tonight. So, I don't know. I'll have to sit and think about what other dumb shit pops into my head over the next couple weeks for our next episode.
I love what's in your head.
Like, don't eat my brain.
I'm not going to eat your brain. But if I could eat your brain and absorb your knowledge, I would totally do it.
I kind of wish things actually work like that. Although now I'm thinking, I don't really too many people's brains. I mean,
Would you eat my brain?
yes, because if I can't eat your brain, no one can.
Oh.
God, I'm sort of thinking like I would probably eat like Neil deGrasse Tyson. I would eat his brain. Stephen Hawking died. I'll have to sit and put it together like a list. Like whose brains would I eat if I could assume their knowledge and power?
Next week, or the next week, or whenever we get to it, we'll have that list for you.
Well, it'll probably be 2 weeks from now
Yes.
because yeah, because we're going to be switching our format to an every other week for a little while we try to figure some things out.
And that's okay. Change is great. So,
Send us your
yes,
questions.
send us
And
questions.
did I say questions or questions?
You said
Did I
questions.
say questions? Okay,
Yes.
in my brain I heard questions and I'm like, question. Send us your questions. Yeah, help you.
Help us help you, help us help you. Helping you, help us help you.
Help me. No, really, help me. Help me. Help me.
SOS, send help.
Yeah.
Anyway, have a good whatever, and
Thank you so much.
we'll see you and talk to you later.